And welcome to the Florida Roundup Presidential Debate Special from Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman. And today we are doing a special statewide program previewing the final presidential debate between President Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and we're taking a look at the issues that most affect Floridians as they cast what could be the deciding votes in the November 6th election. Let's introduce our panel for the hour. As we go into the panel, we hear from Ted Deutsch, who is Democratic U.S. Congressman representing the 19th District. Based right here in Boca Raton. And we should note that Congressman Deutsch is not facing a Republican opposition this election cycle, but he does have a pair of independents running against him, both of whom we have invited to the audience today. Congressman Deutsch, it's an honor. Thank you very much for your time.
It's great to be here, Phil. Thanks very much.
Mark Foley is a former Republican U.S. Congressman who represented Florida's 16th District for the better part of six terms in the U.S. House. Also from around this neck of the woods here in Boca Raton. Mr. Foley, great to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Phil.
And the third member of our panel for the hour is Dr. Robert Watson, who is a professor of American Studies here at Lynn University, which will be hosting the final presidential debate, as well as an author, a media commentator, and a community activist. Dr. Watson, I presume we welcome you to the program.
Thank you, Phil.
I think you have some of your students and fans here as well. We're going to take feedback along the way from our live audience here via Twitter. And here's how you can do that. You tweet our handle, at WLRN, include the hashtag LynnDebate. We've got our social media producer, Danny Rivero, who is here. He'll tell us some of the best stuff that will come in over the next hour. We certainly want you part of the conversation online. And after the program is over, you can continue that. And we'll hear from some of the fine folks here that have come to Lynn University in Boca Raton to ask questions in person. So to start off, we'll talk about the economy. We have new job numbers in from the state of Florida. The unemployment rate is 8.7%, down a tick from the previous month. Whether that's good news or bad news, we'll figure out as this election cycle comes closer. But if this election is a referendum on the economy, how is Florida a bellwether? First, we'll ask Congressman Ted Deutsch how Florida is a bellwether for the economy and the issues that are playing out in this race.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Phil. And it's great to be here on Lynn's campus just ahead, just as we've got the debate here. I think that Florida really is a bellwether. Florida was hit so hard by the economic downturn. And if you look at what happened in Florida and you look at what happened nationally, they're comparable. It's just we got it first and we got it worse. There were, if you remember, and people tend to forget, at least some who are involved in the campaign tend to forget, that you know, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month when the president took office. Here in Florida, because of the real estate downturn especially, and as a result of what happened on Wall Street, we were having real problems. The president came in, his job when he came in was to stop the bleeding and to start moving us in the right direction. That's exactly what the president's done. It's no surprising that the unemployment rate ticked down some here in Florida. Nationally, the unemployment rate is 7.8%. It is down 5.2 million new jobs nationwide. And most importantly, and this is why I think this is so important as we head into the election, most importantly is the fact that consumer confidence in October is now the highest that it's been since 2007. People know that we're moving in the right direction. They know that we're moving in the right direction because the president acted boldly to start moving the country forward again. And they're awfully concerned at the possibility here in Florida and elsewhere of returning to the policies that put us in that big hole to begin with. I think Florida understands that. I think the nation understands that. And I look forward to seeing how that plays out in the election.
All right, Congressman, first we're going to get to Dr. Watson in just a moment, but that's the Democratic view here. We'll get the view from former Republican Congressman Mark Foley on that. What's your response?
Well, no question. The economy's in tough shape. Unemployment is high, but any movement in a lower direction is welcome good news. People need to have confidence. They need to feel good about our lives, but our economy's in a tough spot. So I'd suggest that everyone in this audience, whether you're young or seniors, should care about the outcome of the election. And I don't believe anybody has a magic wand. If Mitt Romney's elected, I don't think things are going to change dramatically, because there's some fundamental problems in the economic model we have. You know, right now we have a huge problem in a budget. We have a fiscal cliff. We have seniors receiving less than 1% on CDs. So all of these factors end up as a pocketbook issue for millions of Americans and millions of Floridians.
Dr. Watson, we'll ask you to sort of intervene here. And Democrats take credit for gains, and then Rick Scott, the Republican governor, takes credit for job gains in Florida. Everybody's blaming everybody else for unemployment, though still being on the high side here. So where does the truth lie?
Yeah, first off, let me just say it's a pleasure to be here. This is a very distinguished panel, and we're delighted to host you at Lynn University. And, Phil, I've been a fan of the show, so I'm delighted to be able to be a part of this.
Thank you.
This is not a time for the blame game. If I could tie that into, I think, the larger issue of Florida being a bellwether. Florida is not only a bellwether. Florida is the bellwether. We're the fourth largest state in the country, but the three states larger, California, New York, and Texas, are not in play. We're in play. We're also a bellwether in this respect. From 1960, every single presidential election from 60 on, the person that won the White House, won Florida. So the person that won Florida ended up winning the White House. One exception, Bill Clinton lost Florida in 92 and won the White House. So the road to the White House does run through Florida. Three, every major targeted demographic that the campaigns look at is well represented here in Florida. We have a large black vote, large Latino vote, 1.5 million registered Latino voters, large Jewish population, 640,000+. We have a large senior population, a large veteran population. So every major demographic is represented here. Next, North Florida resembles the South politically, as we all know, and culturally, and South Florida represents the North. So that's why we like to say the farther north you go, the further south you are, right, in Florida. But Central Florida reflects the Midwest. So we're a perfect bellwether in all those respects. What I think is so critical here in Florida, and there might be a bit of truth in all the arguments, is this. We don't have really the manufacturing base. Our economy is based on tourism, service sector jobs, agriculture, so we're especially hard hit, the housing boom. But I think there's a clear difference in what Florida needs. Florida needs investment in education. Florida needs investment in infrastructure, roads, bridges, sewage systems, hospitals, modernization of airports. You cannot have one team that says we're going to gut infrastructure, which is how you grow an economy, attack education, and expect to have an economy that can serve the 21st sector society. We need continued programs like that. We need to make sure that we have beach restoration, environmental programs. Let's not forget, our economy is dependent on clean beaches, the health of the Everglades, a clean water system. This is why people come to Florida. So I do think we're sitting on a really clear choice here between the two parties, not only nationally, but with respect to Florida contemporary and in terms of Florida's long-term diagnosis.
You're listening to the Florida Roundup. It is our presidential debate special. We're at Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman. That's Dr. Robert Watson, political science professor here at Lynn University, along with Congressman Ted Deutsch and former Congressman Mark Foley. And I want to direct this towards the congressman here, but stimulus has been brought up, both evil and good, depending on what party you're in. Congressman Deutsch, you're a Democrat. Has the president done enough to talk about stimulus, the jobs it has created, and especially here in the state of Florida? We heard former Governor Charlie Crist, who was once a Republican, is now an independent, tout stimulus and how much it has meant to the state. Has the president done enough of that when he comes to pressing upon Floridians?
Yeah, of course. Look, the former governor is absolutely right to talk about the importance of the stimulus to the state. It's no surprise, and really it shouldn't shock anyone, that that my colleagues on the other side spend so much time attacking the stimulus, if for no other reason than that their approach to the economy is so different from what Dr. Watson described. The failure to invest in education is the biggest problem, I think, in terms of long-term economic growth. It's the biggest problem with their vision. And so the fact that the stimulus saved teacher jobs in Florida, I was in the state Senate when the stimulus came down. Without that stimulus money, there would have been massive layoffs of teachers around the state, not to mention first responders. We have, in this state, this ongoing battle between those who want to continue to take money out of our public schools and put them into private schools through vouchers, put them into take them and give them to corporations through these other vouchers, and those of us who believe that we need to invest in our public schools. That's what played out in the stimulus as well. I can't imagine what the state would look like today economically if we didn't have that stimulus money, which helped save those teachers' jobs. It was good jobs for the teachers, it was good for our families, and it was good for Florida's economy.
Right. Former Congressman Foley, your response.
Well, I like Congress. You know, when you sponsor a bill that brings money to your district, you claim that a success. When you want to attack the other side, you claim it's a wasteful stimulus. And that's kind of how this game plays out. No question, when you prime the pump at the federal government, you can get results. I think the doctor was more correct. Rather than invent new companies to give money to, we should be applying the technology as we best know it, building roads, highways, infrastructure, hardening security, doing the things that bring real jobs to real people. Now, when you spend a lot of money and send it out to every new company thinking you're going to create a new economic paradigm, whether it's an energy or something else, it often fails because it's risk capital. So I would rather spend tax dollars, hard-earned tax dollars, on things that have immediate results. And those are the interstates, the highways, the buses, the ports of entry. That would have resulted in real money. And giving a COLA increase to seniors. Because real dollars to seniors in Florida end up being spent in the grocery stores.
We're going to talk about entitlements and get to all of that stuff. We have to hit a break here and remind folks that they are listening to the Florida Roundup. This is our presidential debate special from Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman. Tough to be the moderator, as we found out during these last few presidential debates. You got to step in at some point. We're going to take feedback from the audience, though, as we go along. We've got some audience members here. Please step up if you have a question. Also, for the folks on Twitter, please use the hashtag Lynn Debate and use call sign WLRN. So we'll continue our discussion from Lynn University. Our presidential debate special continues in just moments. And we welcome you back to the Florida Roundup presidential debate special from here at Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman, reintroducing our panel. Former Congressman Mark Foley, Lynn University's professor, Dr. Robert Watson, and U.S. Congressman Ted Deutsch. And we're getting your feedback along the way, as we've talked about. But before we get to the feedback from the audience, Dr. Watson, I know you wanted to interject something based on that last conversation.
This is a verbose panel. We're like Obama and Romney. So you have to play Candy Crowley and jump in there on us, Phil. But I'm going to say this. I think the way to put this conversation about infrastructure into historic comparison, every single American president from FDR on made infrastructure a central priority. Roads, bridges, schools, and so forth. The president that spent the largest percentage on these infrastructure programs was a Republican, Eisenhower. There's been only one president in history that gutted these programs and failed to keep this investment in Americans' future, and that was George W. Bush. So what's happened is infrastructure has never been a Republican or a Democratic thing until recent times. There's no Republican or Democratic way to fill in a pothole. Not just Democrats get cancer and need the cancer wing on the hospital. It benefits everyone. So what you see is you see a new kind of hyperpartisanship entering this infrastructure conversation, whereby the president's infrastructure package that both members of Congress talked about, remember, a third of that went to tax cuts. A third of it went to keeping first responders, as Congressman Deutsch correctly noted, cops, firefighters, first responders, teachers, keeping them employed. And the other third went to infrastructure. But the problem is you had Republican governors like Bobby Jindal in Louisiana and Mark Sanford and South Carolina and Haley Barbour in Mississippi, who simply refused to use this money. They would rather their states fail than allow the president to promote an economic recovery program, which is just unimaginable. And okay. The last real quick point on that is we also saw a new, I think, exciting area of the president's infrastructure, and that was not just hard infrastructure, shovel projects, but soft infrastructure in terms of broadband or wireless or high-speed internet technology. You know, roughly half of our public K-12 schools lack adequate broadband or wireless internet technology, which means our kids will not be able to compete with kids from Korea, Germany, Japan, and elsewhere. But yet you had these governors rejecting this money to improve our schools, taking a road that somehow improving schools is socialism or is inappropriate government programs. So I think we're in a new terra incognita. This is all new. We don't know where we're going when we're making even infrastructure a hyper-partisan issue.
All right, let's turn to our social media editor. Danny Rivero has been collecting the tweets and looking very hard at the best ones. So we're asking for tweets at the hashtag LynnDebate using the call sign at WLRN. Danny, what do you see?
What I'm seeing, Phil, is a lot of students locally, the issue of how much it costs to get an education here in this country and as well as locally is coming up a lot. One student here, Jennifer Murillo, said, "The failure to invest in education can never go well. Investment in public schools was the main stimulus for the Florida economy." Another student tweeted to us, Grace Paulus. She said, "What is Mitt Romney's plan to reduce the cost of going to college? High ed can be very expensive."
All right, so Congressman Foley, you want to talk about Mitt Romney's, and we always talk about the rising cost of a college education. What's Governor Romney's plan to try and solve that?
One of the problems, the federal government talks Stafford grants, Pell grants, spends a lot of time on grants. No one ever talks about capping tuition increases. Every time we raise money or give more money to Pell, it ends up in a university's pocket. They raise tuition and make it unaffordable. This is a two-way street. It can't be just let's protect the sanctity of the federal purse as it relates to education. I hope Mr. Romney recognizes, as I'm certain President Obama does, that without a good education system, we really are going to fail. We're competing against the brightest brains. You go to India, you go to China, you go anywhere in the world, and their educational system is second to none. Math, science, the things that propel a society forward. We spend time fighting politics. Who's going to get the right policy? Well, if the rates keep going up, it won't matter what your child's aptitude, because they simply won't afford it. If they can afford it, the jobs out there are negligent or minimal. So before we worry about, you know, who's got the best educational policy, we better figure out how to fill in the blanks starting at first grade and pre-K.
Congressman Deutsch, on behalf of President Obama, how does he plan to solve the issue of the rising cost of education?
I don't think there's any big debate about what the better policy is. There is one policy for education that everybody in America supports, and that is a quality education from pre-K through 12, quality public education, and making sure that access to higher education is available to everyone who wants to pursue it. That's the policy. And we're not going to achieve that by telling colleges that they should cap tuition. In Florida, where there's this ongoing battle in the state legislature every year, something that I still keep my eye on because it still shocks me that there are those who want to continue to slash funding for our university system here in Florida. In Florida, we know that debate has already plays out every year about funding for higher ed. What we need to do is exactly what the president has started to do. He's reformed the student loan process. Right. He's taken the banks out from the middle. We've made more loans available to students. We want students to be able to afford to go to college, and we want to make the investment in our schools and in our universities and in our teachers to make sure that we have the best teachers available to train our kids so that they're able to compete with, as Congressman Foley points out, compete for those jobs that where the competition is now global. That's what we have to do. It's not a question of what policy is better. The policy is that we need great schools and we need our kids to be able to afford going to college.
I agree with the congressman. If I may, for the first time since we started keeping numbers on this after World War II, the cost of a college education is now beyond the reach of middle-class Americans. Now let that sink in. What I think one of the key ingredients to creating the American middle class, which has been the engine that's been driving our economy for over half a century, was the GI Bill. Sending folks to college. How many folks in the audience benefited from the GI Bill? several hands, okay. The GI Bill was what helped to create the middle class, which drove the American economy. So I view this argument of the increasing cost, and I'm right in the thick of this, I'm a professor, the increasing cost of a college education, yes, we have to get them under control. But I think it's a matter of priorities. I think everyone that screams about the raising cost of a college education, what are they doing to make sure there's investments for a college education? There are areas in any budget, state, municipal, federal, that can be cut. There's areas where we need an increase in spending. Education is the way we're going to compete in the 21st century economy. We've got to make commitments to education. And there's no way we're going to grow the economy and make, or here in Florida, a competitive economy without the type of viable investments in our educational system. So when they complain about the cost, check these folks and make sure that they're putting the investments behind
Dr. Watson, I just want Congressman Deutsch to interject quickly, and then we're going to move on to another topic. Go ahead.
It's exactly right. It's a matter of priorities. And in this election, the priorities in this issue is do we continue to provide college, do we make college accessible to people by increasing the Pell Grants that are available, or is it more important for us to give additional tax cuts to the very wealthiest Americans, to continue to provide subsidies for the biggest oil companies? That's a matter of values. Those are the values that are being debated in this election, and that's why I support President Obama.
You're listening to the Florida Roundup. It is our debate special. We are at Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman, that voice you just heard, United States Congressman from South Florida, based here in Boca Raton. Ted Deutsch, Democrat, also with us, a former Republican Congressman Mark Foley, also from this neck of the woods here in Palm Beach County, and with us actually in his home base at Lynn University is Dr. Robert Watson, political science professor. We're taking your questions here in the audience, and we'll continue to do so, and also through Twitter. You guys talked about how much money is not being spent on education. There is, I think I read somewhere, $800 million has already been spent on the presidential campaign. And I'm sure a lot of students probably would like to see some of that money directed towards that. But this is what the society that we live in. Now, here in Florida, we all know how many people are tired of hearing these commercials. And everybody can agree that we've been inundated. All right. So I will apologize in advance for letting you hear this.
Connie Mack, deep in debt to the special interests.
While radical Islamists burn our embassy and kill our ambassador in Libya, Bill Nelson votes to send more taxpayer money to Libya.
Where are the jobs you promised? My family can't afford another 4 years like this.
Obama no tiene idea por lo que estamos pasando. Promesas y promesas y nada.
It's me, Big Bird.
Mitt Romney knows it's not Wall Street you have to worry about. It's Sesame Street.
I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS.
Mitt Romney, taking on our enemies no matter where they nest.
So there you go. Those ads courtesy of these groups, American Crossroads, Obama for America, Rand PAC. That is just a small sampling of what we have been bombarded with here in Florida in recent weeks, which does bring us right to the issue of campaign financing. And we see the money and the impact of that Citizens United case a couple of years ago. Dr. Watson, you want to talk about that, how that has impacted our political process, and especially what we are seeing and hearing on the radio and TV here in Florida?
I'd love to talk about it, Phil. First off, let me throw you an investment tip, and this one's on the House. Buy stock in your local network affiliates right now because they are raking in the money off of these ads. They cannot find enough programming to accommodate in Florida all the negative ads that the super PACs want to spend. Phil's right by mentioning the Citizens United versus the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission case back in 2010. This basically allows for an unlimited amount of unregulated money. So we're not all equal. Some of us are now more equal than others. And this, I will say, as someone who's spent his adult life writing on, reading, teaching the framers, the founders, this is not what the framers had in mind when they talked about free speech. In fact, the idea of even limiting presidential terms, they were worried about powerful elites coming in and buying elections. So this is the antithesis of what they wanted to do. Here's my major concern with all this. You'd all probably agree that we're less civil today than we've been any time since perhaps the Civil War. Fear has replaced fact. paranoia has replaced sitting down and breaking bread with folks. I've had the great honor of serving on panels with both these distinguished gentlemen, and we agree on a lot of things. We disagree on a few. Ted and I don't disagree on very much, but the congressman and I, we agree, we disagree on, but you know what? We're not enemies. We're both Americans, and these are great public servants, and we're trying to work through a solution. So my concern is this, real quickly. If we are that incivil today, where are we going to be after this election? When it's all said and done, we will have consumed billions with a B. This is like Carl Sagan, billions and billions and billions of dollars in negative lies and attack ads. It's pouring venom into an already precarious political situation. So I think there's a larger term question here about returning to the heart and soul of what this democracy is about and moving beyond these venomous attacks, which we see here every night as we turn on television in Florida.
Now, Congressman Deutsch, when the Citizens United ruling came out from the Supreme Court in 2010, Democrats, in particular President Obama, came out and condemned it. But we've, since the rise of all these super PACs, the president has sort of embraced, maybe hasn't embraced it, but Democrats have said, look, we're going to have to play by those same rules. Do you wish you didn't have to play by those rules? And talk about the impacts as a congressman that you've seen as a result of that decision.
Sure. First of all, I completely agree on this one, maybe a few others too, Dr. Watson. The fact is that since Citizens United, all of these dollars coming in, and in this election, this is going to be the first election when outside, unaccountable groups, right, no accountability, no disclosure requirements, will likely spend in excess of $1 billion to influence the outcome of the election, almost all of it negative. This isn't a unifying issue. This is one that Democrats and Republicans are rallying around together. We all hate it. I hate it as a member of Congress. Politically, I hate the idea that in the last 2 or 3 weeks of the campaign, after we spend, and by the way, elected officials spend too much time raising money to begin with, but then in the last 2 weeks of the campaign for some outside group, even someone with a reputation like Mayor Bloomberg, who announced that he's now going to come into individual House races and spend $1 or 2 million, it can drive the outcome of the election, and it really convinces people that the system doesn't work for them. Just very quickly, Phil, I'll tell you, as you know, the only way to repeal a Supreme Court decision is to amend the Constitution. They were interpreting the Constitution, I believe, as Justice Stevens said at the time, that they interpreted it incorrectly. The only way to do it is to amend it. I've introduced an amendment to outlaw this corporate money in our political system. It is widely supported both across the country and in the House, and that's what I think we have to do.
Certainly widely supported here. Congressman Foley, you want to just react to that quickly?
Well, no, I got a lot of guff from my Republican counterparts for supporting strongly McCain-Feingold. We wanted to put a cap on campaign finance. Watching TV today is disgusting. It's diminishing people's interest in politics. Mm-hmm. It is threatening our democracy. But I do believe, and Ted said it best, everyone in Congress spends far too much time worrying about money, worrying about reelection. I do wish we had term limits. I wish we had a 4-year term so it wouldn't happen every two. I wish both parties would agree. Mm-hmm. You can't take corporation donations from silent parties. You shouldn't take it to fund conventions, both sides. Shouldn't take it to fund other things. You've got to disarm these groups. Citizens don't matter anymore. It's now all about big money influencing politics. Yeah. That's why city elections turn out 12%. And that's why good people leave office. They say, I've had enough. They've purged every moderate in the Democratic Party. They've purged every moderate in the Republican Party. The extremes sit on both sides trying to figure out ways to become chairman of the committee. And they use obscene amounts of money to destroy reputations. I hope the public is the one that finally says enough is enough.
Phil, very quickly.
Let's turn to our panel because we've had several folks waiting here. And I believe one of our members here in the audience has a question that may be either indirectly or directly related to what we were just talking about. Sir, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My name is Mark Page. I'm from Fort Lauderdale. My question is this. Governor Romney's advisor on his Supreme Court appointments is Robert Bork, an extremely conservative justice who is now retired. What are the implications of Romney or Obama appointing the next Supreme Court justice, specifically on Roe v. Wade and gay rights?
All right, I want to give that question to the man in the middle here, Dr. Watson. So you take both sides of that. What do you think?
Sure. Well, we all know that the next president of the United States will get one, two, maybe even three appointments to the high court. And we all know that important issues that really, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, issues that go to the fabric of who we are as a country, whether it's a woman's right to choose, whether it's civil liberties, whether it's civil rights legislation, whether it's secret detainment facilities and the Patriot Act, a lot of these decisions are 5-4 votes. So just one major change on the Supreme Court will result in a sea change of the social fabric of what we are as a country. So this is an important issue, which means you should also be looking, in addition to whether it's Romney or Obama at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, who will control the Senate, because the magic number right now is just 4. If the Republicans get a net pickup of just 4 seats in the Senate, and the Democrats are defending 5 open seats, you could see a changed composition in the Senate. I promise to do this in 30 seconds real quickly.
Well, actually, we don't have the 30 seconds, so okay. Let me put the comma right there. We have a lot still to get to, including some foreign policy issues, entitlements, Medicare, Social Security, lots of stuff that we're going to get to, and some more feedback from our audience. You're listening to the Florida Roundup. It's our Lynn University debate special. I'm Phil Latzman. With us, our distinguished panel, Dr. Robert Watson from Lynn University, former Congressman Mark Foley, current U.S. Congressman Ted Deutsch. We'll come back and continue the conversation in just a moment. We welcome you back to the Florida Roundup. It is our presidential debate special here at Lynn University in Boca Raton. I'm Phil Latzman. Our panel today, former Republican Congressman Mark Foley, Lynn University political science professor Dr. Robert Watson, and current U.S. Congressman Ted Deutsch, who is a Democrat. Before we get some more feedback from the audience, talk about entitlement programs, let's talk about another major issue that Floridians are dealing with, and that is foreclosures. And, of course, in the U.S. Senate debate here in Florida, this was brought up, and we'll use that as an example to get into this. The Democratic incumbent Bill Nelson and his Republican challenger, U.S. Congressman Connie Mack IV, locked horns talking about foreclosures, and we found out that Florida now leads the nation in foreclosures. That was a major topic. Here is Senator Nelson saying that some of President Obama's programs are working to reverse the crisis.
These mortgages that are held by Fannie and Freddie are now being refinanced. So the homeowner, a typical homeowner on a $200,000 mortgage, will be able to save a total of $5,000 a year in interest.
Congressman Mack, however, pointed to the Dodd-Frank bill, which was passed to reform Wall Street and protect consumers, as one item that is slowing the housing recovery.
You know, we talk about small businesses, the housing market. It's really quite simple. Small banks want to lend money. But if you put Dodd-Frank on top of them, they're afraid you're going to put them out of business.
And that was a major topic in the debate. So, former Congressman Foley, what would Mitt Romney do to help homeowners that President Obama has not?
Well, I hope they will encourage whoever's president, banks, to start lending again. I mean, banks basically screwed America, to be honest. And I will say, led by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, and all the other organizations who are allowing these kinds of loans, these hybrids, zero money down, zero interest 5 years, no documentation. That was the norm coming out of Washington, D.C. Whenever you loan people money with no expectation of getting it back and not requiring them to put a nickel in themselves, you're going to get what we get, which was a failed policy. A lot of foreclosures are as a result of fraud. I hope Mr. Romney or Mr. Obama recognize the value of home ownership is there, but people have to put their own skin in the game. You have to get a down payment. You have to have a job. You have to have documentation. You have to have appraisals. You can't have both people stealing money out of your pocket and then go, oh, we were just kidding. We're sorry. No, Bank of America, they're back on their feet. J.P. Morgan, billions of dollars we've lost in equity, in value, and our economy's collapsing because of crooks, and nobody's in jail.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Congressman Deutsch, has the Obama administration done enough to address the foreclosure crisis and the fraud that has been fraught in this process?
Well, first of all, listening to Congressman Foley, I wonder if the Republican Party in the U.S. House today would be comfortable having him.
No. But I will tell you, I fought that same bill when I was in Congress. McCain and I went after Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and said, you have to document on your books where this money's coming from. And they hired every lobbyist they could find to come after me and Richard Baker and Senator McCain and George Bush because we were trying to interfere with housing policy. Look what it got us.
All right. Before we move on to entitlements and Medicare and, of course, Medicaid, many important issues here in the state of Florida to deal with, Social Security, we're going to take some feedback from our audience members that have been waiting here patiently. And, young lady, we welcome you to the program. How are you? What's your name?
Good. My name is Perry Golden. I'm a high school senior at Olympic Heights Community High School in Boca Raton, Florida. Quickly, I just wanted to know, how can the candidates create more jobs so that when I graduate, I can be insured a quality job?
Wow, the question of the campaign, I think. That's a tough enchilada. Congressman Deutsch, let me start with you on that one.
Well, first of all, I believe that's an excellent question from a constituent of District 21 here in the state of Florida. There's a lot that can be done. The frustration is there's a lot that would already have been done if the obstructionists that run the House of Representatives right now had actually moved President Obama's jobs program forward. We know that in the short term, investing in infrastructure, as Dr. Watson has spoken about, investing in our schools, rebuilding our schools, we know that that would create jobs. Now, by the way, not just the people who will do the construction, but those are good jobs for the engineers. They're good jobs for all the people throughout that process. But it's not just that. The good jobs of the future will come when we make the commitment to provide the kind of education that we need, to make sure that college is accessible to you, to make sure that we have the focus on to have the necessary math and science teachers to give kids the training they need to be able to compete, and to make the investment in the types of jobs that will be the centerpiece of the future. We have a strong manufacturing base, and it's coming back. Okay. But in the future, we have to continue to invest in knowledge-based education, the knowledge-based jobs. That's what the president spoke about at the debate so passionately. He's right. We've been the leader in all of that, in all of those areas of the economy. We'll continue to be if we can make the kinds of investments and the kind of commitment that President Obama wants to make. He needs Congress to go along with him.
All right. Let's move on to former Congressman Foley. Congressman Deutsch just said that your former colleagues in the House are obstructionists.
I was just curious, with 2 years of House and Senate control, what jobs bill were passed?
What? I don't want to jump the gun, but I can certainly say that with 2 years with the House and Senate and the presidency in the Democratic hands, we did have the first opportunity, the first time that we did something to crack down on the abuses of Wall Street. We did, for the first time, take on the issue of health care and provide coverage to 30 million Americans who don't have it. We did, for the first time, we did take action to level the playing field between consumers and insurance companies. And, oh, by the way, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed.
I will also jump on that by adding to that, rescuing the auto industry, promoting stem cell research, promoting new biotechnologies. But there's another side to it, and that is this. Even if you have a majority in the House and Senate, the Senate procedurally can block anything with just 40 votes. And the Republicans had 40 votes. So with the minority, they blocked everything, which goes to a point, and I think the congressman's spot on. The point is this. For a democracy to be healthy, you need an opposition party. What you don't need is an obstructionist party.
But wait a second. If you can get it done, you can get it done. If you can't get it done, you can't get it done. If you're the president of the United States, you can't convince the Congress to pass what you want. Isn't that a failure?
Well, Phil, the president is taking on, yes, he's taking on Congress, but when the leading Republican in the United States Congress, the Senate minority leader, says that it is his job more than creating jobs, more than moving the economy forward, more than doing right for the American people, it's his top priority to prevent President Obama from being elected, how does anyone compete with that?
Likewise, there's a real quick example here. Many Republicans in the House Many Republicans in the House and Senate were pushing, rightfully so, pushing George W. Bush to get a trade agreement with South Korea. You all know there's a lot more Hyundais and Kias being sold here than there are Fords and Chevys being sold there. President Bush, to his credit, tried, but he didn't get it done. President Obama got the South Korean trade bill done. Those same Republicans in the Senate then blocked it, putting their opposition to the president above jobs in this country, because we would have been selling more American-made cars,
all right,
which
wait,
is always a good thing
for
the country.
We're a little one-sided here. Congressman Foley, why don't you get your... Yeah.
A little factual here.
I feel like I'm on Bill Maher again.
you're always hitting that
show. Folks, the sad reality for all of us in this room, doesn't matter who becomes president, Congress is dysfunctional.
And
Ted, I say that with sincerity. I really believe in my heart.
Sincerity and respect, I can tell.
And with respect.
All right. Our time is limited. We have another audience member, and this is something. We haven't even mentioned the expression health care. My goodness. And this lady in the audience, I believe, has a question. Welcome, ma'am. Good to have you.
I'm good to be here. My name is Deborah Lewis, and I'm from Plantation, Florida. Whether we have Obamacare or Romneycare in 2012, who do you think is actually going to improve access to health care for people with pre-existing conditions?
All right.
I hope. You know, back to
that's a softball.
No.
Hit this one out of the ballpark. Come on.
What I did say on Bill Maher, I wanted the Mitt Romney that governed Massachusetts to come back and show up on the scene, because I truly believe he was doing something imaginary in Massachusetts that created access. I do believe he shouldn't have run from that record, and I think the president, to his credit, is trying to solve problems. I believe Hillary Clinton when she
would
was
you
working
have voted
towards.
For it?
I probably wouldn't have. I had problems with it, but I was engaged in the debate, because the one thing we can't control is our health. We may be well-educated, we may have all kinds of good things going on, but we could get disease, you know, any kind of, as I had prostate cancer. So I would suggest both parties better sit down at the table and stop talking about repealing things and start talking about adding to the equation of finding affordability. It can't be just cutting doctors' reimbursements, can't be cutting hospital spending, it can't be simply talking trial lawyers, it can't be simply talking nursing home abuse. It has to be an aggregate conversation about improving the lot of lives of millions of Americans. It is too important of an issue to treat like a political football.
Yeah. All right. There's a... Quickly, Congressman Deutsch.
I just the direct response to that question is, how do we eliminate the discrimination based on pre-existing conditions? How do each of these candidates deal with it? It's a very easy answer. President Obama eliminated pre-existing conditions and the discrimination that comes from it. Governor Romney would repeal the Affordable Care Act. That's all that you need to know on this.
Yeah, there's a partisan...
All right. Dr. Watson, quickly.
There's a partisan angle to this, and there's also a misinformation angle to this, because if you look at what is called Obamacare, most everyone in here, most everyone in the country agrees that we should not deny children with pre-existing conditions. Families ought to be able to keep their college-age kids up to 26 on their health care plan. We oppose annual caps put on by insurance companies, and we oppose lifetime caps for families who have struggled with Parkinson's or AIDS or Alzheimer's or some catastrophic long-term care issue. When we all support those, but yet we oppose Obamacare, it means there's a misinformation and a partisan angle that I think is explaining the ugliness in the debate.
We have to save some time for entitlement programs and Social Security and Medicare. We will do that, but let's get another comment from our audience member and young lady. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Alicia Vieira, and I'm a senior at Olympic Heights Community High School. And both candidates address bringing back manufacturing jobs, but wouldn't that be a long and frustrating process that would allow job growth to linger for years to come?
We talked a little bit earlier about manufacturing jobs in Florida and the fact that there are not as many of them here as in other places. Who wants to take that one? Congressman Deutsch?
I'd quickly say that one of the many bright spots in the economy is that manufacturing jobs are coming back. We've seen an increase in manufacturing jobs for the first time in over a decade. That's the good news. There's another way to really encourage more manufacturing jobs here in this country. And again, the choice couldn't be clearer. The difference in approach between the two candidates running for president couldn't be any more stark. We've got the president who wants to create manufacturing jobs in America and wants to repeal those tax provisions that encourage the manufacturing jobs to be created elsewhere.
and Governor Romney, whose approach will absolutely create new manufacturing jobs, but they're going to create new manufacturing jobs abroad. We need to bring those jobs back home
to
America.
There's a few simple ways to save manufacturing. Number one, you start by saving the manufacturing you have, like the auto industry. Number two, you close the outsourcing loopholes, which encourage folks to leave, and you create what Obama's been trying to do and has been doing, insourcing. You reward them tax-wise for bringing back in. And thirdly, you've got to invest in education, new and emerging, whether it's nanotech, biotech, environmental clean jobs, stem cell. These programs will be the economic engine that drives the world's economy over the next 20 years. You've got to invest in those programs. With that, it'll be a long and difficult process, but the congressman's right. It's already starting, and you'll bring manufacturing back.
Well, but what it's going to take is consumer demand. I mean, we all have iPhones now. They came from China. I guess if we're going to look at the labels of all products, maybe we will bring manufacturing back if it said made in the USA. Maybe that would be a big start and a big help.
Yeah. All right. We have two more things we must get to very quickly here. That's entitlements. We've heard talking about Social Security and Medicare. It's been a huge topic in this debate. Vouchers being brought up by the Obama administration, accusing the Romney folks of trying to use that system for seniors. And just let's sum this up quickly. Congressman Foley, is there truth to the fact that the Medicare and entitlement programs would change if there was a President Romney?
Well, I think he's going to work on change. I think Mr. Ryan goes far too far in trying to change the model of Medicare. I think to hand it over to insurance companies is not sound, and nor is it sensible. I do think there has to be competitive things, and I think the president, again, is going to recognize when he gets there. And to the question about the Supreme Court, I think a lot of people probably didn't like George Bush's nomination of Mr. Roberts. Mr. Roberts actually turned out to be pretty good on affordable health care, I would suggest. So I pray that the judges that are appointed by either president are mindful of the rights and liberties of all Americans. Back to health care, though. I think Medicare we have to talk about it honestly, folks. We are going broke. The system can't afford continuation. But we can't simply say Mr. Ryan's plan's right because he's going to pitch it to insurance companies and pray they get it right. We've got to have a solid conversation on the fundamentals. We have to put some means test into the program. Yeah. The billionaires don't necessarily need dollar one coverage. Yeah. You know, you should have to pay a little bit more if you have $1 billion. My mother came from Poland, was a maid. She desperately needed Medicare. We have to protect her and people like her. But all of this has to be off the table. You can't just say,
briefly, because we're running out of time, but I want to get to the Congressman Deutsch. What's the trouble with Medicare? Do you agree that something must be done to head off a problem in the future?
Absolutely. And let's not lose sight of the fact that there was something done, and there was something done very dramatically. It's called the Affordable Care Act. Before the Affordable Care Act passed, Obamacare, if you prefer, Medicare was going to go bankrupt within the next 4 years. The Affordable Care Act extends the life of Medicare by extracting savings from overpayments to insurance companies and eliminating fraud and waste and changing the nature of healthcare delivery. Those are significant steps that I think need to be recognized and applauded, and we cannot, if we're serious about reforming Medicare, we can't repeal the Affordable Care Act and put all of that waste back into the system. It will make Medicare go bankrupt faster. That's the wrong direction. We also can't convert the system to a voucher program, not after Medicare has worked so long for so many.
I want to give the last word to Dr. Watson.
I agree with the congressman, but while we're talking about what must be done, let's also say what must not be done. We must not rush into a reform that harms the system more than it's intended to do. Secondly, we have to stop calling these entitlements. You own these programs. You've paid into them. They're not entitlements. You own the programs. And thirdly, by any objective measure, if we were to compile this panel a list of the five greatest public programs in the 20th century, we put Social Security from 1935, Medicare from 1965. Right. They've been nothing shy of transformational in this country.
Got to stop you there. Wish we could go on. That's Dr. Bob Watson from Lynn University. Also with us, former Congressman Mark Foley and current Congressman Ted Deutch. Thank you so much for being here. Great discussion this hour.
Nice. Big shout out to Lynn University for
and
making us
proud.
And a
shout out to Lynn for making it all happen in advance of the debate. We left a lot of stuff
on the table. That does it for the Florida Roundup Presidential Debate Special from Lynn University. This is a production of WLRN Miami Herald News. You can find out more about us at WLRN.org. The Florida Roundup is produced by Alicia Zuckerman. Sammy Mack and Elaine Chen are associate producers. Danny Rivero is our social media editor. Our executive producer for WLRN is Peter J. Meritz. News director for WLRN Miami Herald News is Dan Gretsch. Today's technical supervision has been Chris DeAngelis here with us at Lynn, and Paul Leary and Caroline Brader-Watts back at WLRN. We had IT support from Charles Michaels. For everyone here at Lynn University, thanks for listening. I'm Phil Latzman. Stay informed, South Florida.